Good morning, New Eden. Today is February, March.
It's a remix. March.
It's definitely not February. It is March 10th, 2024. We're here in the 21st century, playing some EVE Online. Well, talking about EVE Online. I got the game up, I guess. I kind of
Stardate 2.513144.
Ooh,
Captain's
I like that.
Log.
I like
supplemental.
That. Now I know how stardates are made. Not really, but I'm your host.
I think there's actual number science behind that shit.
Actually, there isn't, from my understanding.
There isn't.
Like, it's all over the fucking place.
This random shit.
From my understanding, no. I haven't delved too deep into it, but
my Star Trek fandom, my Trekkiness is now ruined. My life is overturned, and my day is destroyed.
I'm sorry, man. I ruined reality for
Q.
you.
Q. It's just Q. It's fine. Fuck just Q. You. I love Q.
I'm your host, Frozen Fallout, and my co-host today is Samson. How's it going in Samson Land?
Still haven't built that theme park yet, but I'm working on it. Good morning, New Eden. Not that anybody's noticed, but Gwen hasn't really been on much. She did do a little bit of gig camping, and I did snag Don't Tackle Me's Vigilant. That was nice. That was a nice little tasty there.
Yeah, nice little, over the gates in Yvangir that are going on these days.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been camping as much because there is a multi-boxer that will literally sit on the gate with, like, almost a dozen ships. And there's so many Exeggears, I didn't even notice that one of them was an ENI. So I think he had four Execs and one ENI, one Vigilant, one Ashimu, one Oracle. Yeah, I think that was everything that was on the gate. I'm just going to tell a story really quick. I warped my Apocalypse Navy over to the gate at range, but not quite in range. I tried to get in range, but I was like, oh, it's going to take forever. I didn't have the proper pings on the Hade gate. So I was just like, all right, I'll come back. I got to go take a shit. So I docked up and then it came back out. And then I was like, you know what? While I was dropping a deuce, I was like, you know what? All I have to do is drop my Armageddon on him and he'll start engaging it. And so I did that. I put Heinz Armageddon right on the gate. I started neutering the Vigilant and I had the Vigilant tackled. The Ashimu jumped immediately. He was like, nope, that's my most expensive ship. That's going that's going someplace else. And then I think there was a, I don't know, it was the ENI or the Oracle. I think it was the ENI. I also started neuting. But I just was sitting there to put the ogres out and everything. And eventually my shields go down and then my armor starts to tick and I undock my Vargr with Gwen and just warp over. Because they were fighting that Geddon, man. They were into it. Got her down to like 75% armor. And the Vargr lands and I start trying to lock all the Logia with the Vargr because I'm like, I'm ready for this fucking fight. I'm going to kill everything. And everything just starts warping off. Like, it's just... So I was like, fucking fuck. Oh, the Vigilant is stuck. Completely neutered out and still pointed. So I just fucking volleyed that shit. Blew it up. Took it out. And he was like, man, that had a lot of kill marks on it. Now I got to start over. I was like, yes. He was like, yeah, that... He goes, that setup cannot fight that Vargr.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah.
The Vargr is a pretty badass fucking ship. And we also have Nightflyer in the audience today in chat, coming in from work, watching us. It's awesome.
Welcome. But yeah, no, What my full intention was to just volley all of the Logia off the field because they would just die instantly. Boom, 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 boom. They wouldn't be able to rep. And once those are gone, then you start picking off, the DPS and stuff. But I didn't need to do that because everything left Except for the Vigilant, which was worth 700 mil and dropped like 200 mil. So I was like, ooh, payday. Hell yeah.
Always nice to get a solid payday. And I know that you've been playing a bunch of Helldivers too lately. How's that going? What's that game like?
I have been spreading democracy as a Helldiver. Yes, Rosen. For liberty, this is what I'm drinking here. This is Liberty.
Liberty.
And yes, I've been spreading democracy in the name of Super Earth with the Helldivers. It's a fun game. It's really fun. Helldivers 2, specifically. I was supposed to play Helldivers 1. I think I own it. My wife owns it as well. But I never got around to it. And then Helldivers 2 came out, and it just became a huge hit almost immediately. And it's a lot of fun. If you like Starship Troopers, if you like, you know, shoot 'em ups, killing bugs, dropping in from a fucking your destroyer. The coolest thing I think is your destroyer, space destroyer. Every character has their own space destroyer, and essentially every hell diver is like a clone. Is like your clone because, and you get X amount of reinforcements per mission. So when you die, your buddies have to call you back in and drop another hell pod with your clone again. And the most fun shit, dude, is the eagles, the airstrikes and the orbital strikes and shit that come from your destroyer. So like you can call an orbital, you have to do what's called a what are they called, they're called stratagems. You have to hold control, and then you have to it'll pop up a menu and overlay, and you can see which ones are which. Like the orbital strike that I use right now, I think is like right down or up or something like that. And then it arms like a little grenade that you throw into the area, and then X amount of seconds later, the orbital strike or the airstrike, cluster bombs or whatever comes down and rains hell upon all of the bugs.
And then you get to like, you can do like, it doesn't, if you kill like enough of them, doesn't your person do like a maniacal laugh? That's just like...
Dude, you're okay. So like the voice acting is great. I think the craziest shit, like if you're about to die and you manage to get a stim pack off, you'll be like, not today, not today. Or like if you're fucking it's the big turrets that you can stand in and direct, like not auto turrets, but like ones that you can use. Yeah, at least I don't think the masculine voice has this, but the feminine one definitely, for sure. When you're on one of those things and you kill, like you're just like gatling like bugs, 10, 12, 13, 14 bugs, she just starts laughing maniacally. And it's fucking hilarious. Like it got me the first time that happened, because I just wasn't expecting it. Like the fanfare is over the top, rightfully so. Like it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I just started playing
lots
it with
my wife.
Lots of
propaganda in the game too.
Oh yeah, so much propaganda, dude. One of the best things about it, you'll be sitting on your destroyer and like ads for shit will play on the monitors. And there was this cologne, I think it was called God, I don't remember what it was called, but it was in a grenade. It was in the shape of a grenade, and it was like scent of freedom or some bullshit like that. And like there's like so much ridiculous shit in that game that it's really fun. Funny, I started playing with my wife. She likes it. She likes shoot 'em ups. It's not PvP. There's no PvP. Although friendly fire is 100% damage. So just so you know, when you drop an airstrike on your team, they're all gonna die. So, it's funny. I think she likes it, but she does not like when I like if I refer to it, like if we're just sitting around and we don't know what we want to do, I'll be like, would you like to spread some democracy? And she doesn't like that. She's just not cool. She's not cool with that kind of stuff. But like, it's like, okay, when we're playing the game, you know,
right?
Like just... the only, like, it's like everybody will be spouting one-liners, whether it's from the game or from Starship Troopers. Like Eddie will be like, the only good bug is a dead bug. You know, I'm doing my part.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hear, you know, just a little bit more on this though, that I saw a broadcast that was kind of interrupted, I believe, by Super Earth at some point, but before he was cut off and probably killed by Super Earth agents. He was talking about how the bugs come from Super Earth. That the Super Earth had like planted a bunch of
these
bugs.
This is an unauthorized radio broadcast. I'm dropping an orbital.
And you have like, isn't there like missions to go blow up propaganda towers that are being put down by the rebels?
You can find, they're called illegal broadcast stations or whatever. You blow them up and stuff. Yeah. There's a, I don't know, like, I haven't seen, like, I guess you get more story as you go, but I didn't see that one, actually. That's interesting. That's funny. That's, but yeah, obviously,
on YouTube
it's,
made
it's propaganda. Like, it's like someone made it. Yeah, that's
somebody
funny.
Made a propaganda. That's illegal broadcast. Yeah, an illegal broadcast on YouTube. And it's funny because he gets through the whole bug thing, and then he starts getting to what's the robot called?
What are they called? Fuck. Let's see. I'll look it up.
But so as soon as he gets to like talking about like, oh, and about the robots. And like all of a sudden, the broadcast is like shuts down and goes, you know, gets the static, and you know, like this transmission has been interrupted.
I think we just call them bots.
Bots, yeah, I think they're bots. Yeah,
it's just bots.
And
I haven't fought much of them. They are. I did like one or two missions. They are fucking hard. Like, so the game. One of the things that I love about it is like you can play it on super easy, which is of course very boring. But you can switch it like all the way up to fucking insane, and like it's just, you know, bile titans, you know, constantly spawning, and those are like the largest bug, and it's crazy. When you get a good team together, it's a lot of fun though, because you know you end up like. Sacrificing yourself for the greater good, for democracy or whatever, you know. It's like, I just like, no one's gonna be able to kill this guy, they're all running, I'm just gonna fucking run in and drop all of my stratagems on my crotch and just start fucking going like this at the bugs, you know.
can you bombard yourself?
So you kill yourself
if you bombard yourself with the orbital bombardment, you'll die too. Like you can,
yeah,
like,
you'll die. Oh yeah, but like, it's glory,
all friendly fire.
It's glorious when you go down like that. Yeah, because like it's totally worth it, like since you're sort of expendable, like if there's like, if it's like the last part of the objective and there's too many bugs and your guys can't get close enough to do anything, and you happen to be close enough to run in and just like fucking kamikaze with all your stratagems or something, you know, then it's worth it, and it's fun. Like they make the games super fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have to check that out. I'll have to do some streaming for that at some point for sure. And so moving back over to Eve though, the Warzone, not a lot of changes that have happened, but there are a few things, so we'll kind of just take a look at a couple of things here. So right now we've got a little bit of a battle kind of going on in the Aboon Onasekan area. So Onasekan was this week owned by the Galente. The Kaldari were able to flip it over, so the front line has moved back from Nisowa Onasekan to Onasekan Aboon now. And Aboon didn't have enough time to really heal. We haven't really dropped that back down, so they're on the verge, and we've been battling quite a bit in this area to try and hold back the Kaldari from being able to take Aboon. Because they are, if they take that, then Hadeles becomes a front line for them. So we'll become, you know, warmed by all the insanity and all the crazy, seagulls that exist, and massive amount of farmers that exist for the Kaldari. Their LP is worth more than ours. They get Jitta, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons why the Kaldari have such a strong showing, and we'll kind of go into that when we look at the kill board here. But we have been doing a good job of trying to keep Aboon down. Aboon did get up into like the 90 percentiles, I believe, for a little while. We were able to drop it back down to the 70s right now, so we're doing pretty good there. We still got a 17% advantage currently. So, and then Devon has fallen, which was pretty huge for us, because It's fully out of the frontline systems. It is now a command operation, and that means that the Keldari can't dock in Devon. And for the last, like, year, the Keldari have owned and normally have had that either be a command operation and or even a backline system. But we were able to get it into the front line. We pulled, you know, out of the Filiette Haydeeles kind of shenanigans that we were having to deal with. And two of our stronger kind of strongholds, Filiette, was held down for like a long time. But still not, you know, even though it's a backline rear guard system, still at 52%, which actually when it hits rear guard, it makes it a little harder to do a little bit of flexing there because you don't really get any LP, but you do, you can kind of bring it down. So there are some dedicated heroes, not farmers, but actual heroes of the Galente who have been working on that a little bit, but... So Negamenon is now where the big front line is. I know that Sedition and the rest of the Galente are really kind of pushing into this area here, trying to bring this down. Fleet pizza delivery and...
Fleet pizza delivery.
And Hazmajala is getting up there now, so we're at 66.9% contested Hazmajala, 50% advantage for the Galente, and the Negamenon is at 52.8% with a 6% advantage to the... Oh, that is a cool, such a cool looking pin. We're giving those out for the Madtown meetup. Eve Madtown meetup in Madison, Wisconsin on May the 4th.
I wish it would focus.
It does not want to focus on it.
Oh, but, there it goes.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a pretty good shot. Oh, now, no. Oto, though, is getting really, really close. So we're at 84.8% with a 70% contested... Or sorry, 70% advantage for the Galente right now. That's looking really good. Sugerento is under assault. Very heavy advantage for the Keldari right now. They've maxed out the most amount of advantage that they can get right now in that system. And so that puts them at a 54% advantage, 30% contested by the Galente right now. So we're hoping by, fairly early this week that we will be... dropping Otto, maybe even Hazmajala, and then we can continue our assault on Sugerento, where the kind of the Keldari have kind of fallen back from Devon over into Sugerento, since Negamenon doesn't have a NPC station at all. So things are looking pretty good there, and can't really... I can move maybe this will shrink us down a little bit, and we'll show here the... front line has been created by the pirates, of course, and that insurgency is now over. The Keldari got up to a I think it was suppression level 2. So if we kind of bring this down over here, this map fucking sucks, by the way, CCP. This is just stupid. Look at that.
Fix your shit, CCP.
It's so fucking hard to like understand what the fuck is going on half the time in this map. It looks like shit.
That is but a mess.
I mean, especially comparatively to this fucking map. Like, this is fucking... This is Stellaris here, man. This looks fucking awesome. This looks like shit. They did get up to corrupted level... stage 5 in enough systems, and the pirate insurgency has been won. They will see where it will spawn next. At that time, it was very far into the back area of the Keldari rear guard systems. And due to the amount of space that the Keldari own, with their owning of 72 systems versus our 17, it's very likely that these insurgencies land in Keldari space, a lot of times in the far back reaches of their space, where the Galente are not going to give a shit about it, and the Keldari really, truthfully, don't give a shit about it. So hopefully there's some changes that kind of happen with where these fobs land, I'm kind of, you know, I feel like they should be more like the FOBs should land in frontline systems, like, or maybe command operation systems, you know. So maybe Maklamad might get hit, or like Rishard, but you know, you do have like Tama, Ataman, you know, like Nisowa, Pinasi.
Yeah, Tama needs to come back.
Yeah, Tama should totally have a, and then you could have Nervikaiken. Oh no, Nervikaiken cannot fall. That sucks. Nervikaiken will never become a corrupted system, unfortunately, because it is 0.8.
Oh, is that too high?
Yeah, it's too high. They should, you know what there should be is an in-game event that knocks Nervikaiken down to a 0.6 system. And
then it can be.
And then it can be taken over. So, but that is news in the fight for what is right.
Freedom.
Freedom. The fight for freedom and democracy. No propaganda here. We would never do that. But yeah, things are, still fighting strong. Lots of good fighting in the Devon, Abun, Onasikin, Nagamenon, Sugerento kind of area. Lots of really good solo PvP that I've been finding in Onasikin, or really small gang kind of stuff. I did some killing this week. You know, I've been able to get up to, looks like I'm at 96 kills for the last 7 days right now. We did get Phantomite's Deimos as well.
Deimos, okay. Sorry, same hull, but not a Vigilant. Deimos. Yes. So,
is a 300 million isk hack. Deimos heavy assault cruiser that we were able to take down, which was really awesome. Well, we were just kind of fucking around trying to take systems. We took a battlefield today, and I did a bunch of gate camping in Abazon for this weekend. We had like a really late night Abzan, you know, impromptu Abzan Spectre fleet gate camp that went on, which was really fun. We got like a Raven worth this morning we got a Raven worth 1.43 billion isk.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? I saw you said, I was like, why is that Raven worth 1.4 billion isk? That seems unnecessary. It's not even a Raven Navy.
It's not a Raven like, Navy. It is
even Raven Navy is a shitty ship anyway, but like, it's still, like, I feel like that would make more sense that it would be that.
So he had these weird ballistic control units, these Hava
storylines?
They're. I don't even think they're storyline. Let me see. No, I think they are storyline.
The little round, the circle, green circle, light green circle.
No, these are faction, I think. Actually, these are some kind of weird faction. But just they were green? Worth, yeah, there's blue? Like just a green, you know, little triangle. That. So yeah, that's
not officer.
Not officer, no, but they were worth, looks like 248 million each, and he had three of them on there.
Wow, yeah. One of them dropped. 700.
Yeah, so that's where the majority of it came from. I don't even think he had, I think that was the only faction thing. Yeah, everything else was just your standard T2.
I'm very confused. I have to look at it myself now. Let's see here. Federation Frontline. It's right there. Raven, Carlos Reese.
Yeah, there. I mean, micro warp drive, just standard. Although, I mean, apparently a Tech 2 micro warp drive for a battleship, a 500 mn, is worth 11 million.
One.
But yeah, it was just those three things really kind of jumped up that price.
Yeah, 250 a piece. Why does it only show one?
Because there's only one dropped. The other two.
Oh, there's the other two, yeah. Yep. They were 5 billion. That's
and two. Then we killed his hawk, and then we killed his
pot. Oh, T2. He had T2 rigs as well. 250 million worth of T2 rigs.
Oh, yeah. Those are.
That'll do it.
Yep. And then he had his pod got blown up.
Should we, like, share this? Let's share this.
Sure, if you want to show it off here.
Since we're talking about this kill, I'll share, because we're gonna go into other stuff anyways, but like,
yeah, this is a really pretty kill. It also, what didn't come into the was this the Sedain Gate or whatever? The
Oh,
it says it right there, Shara.
Shara.
The Shara Gate. Shara. Yeah. So we got reported, Stargate, you know, Shara. that Raven was coming in from the other gate. So we warped over. We were able to catch him. He didn't seem to try and get away at all. And I mean, we might have probably scrammed him and shit. I mean,
that was like his fucking. That was this dude's like life savings in the one ship.
Well, then okay, so we killed that. Then we killed his hawk that dropped. Right, it was a hawk that dropped, which is only 48 million. That was just a cheapie. But then we got his pod, and I don't understand how the fuck you guys don't get your pods out. Like, how
all
you
gotta
are you
do
not?
Is warp, man.
All you gotta do is spam the warp button, literally anywhere. You know, besides. Probably the Abazon Gate, because or the other gate, the Hikoto Gate or whatever. What is that?
That's not what I wanted. It's Hakoda.
Yeah, don't warp to the Hakoda Gate at zero, because then you probably get smart bombed. But
trying to find, I don't know where the pod is. I guess if I click on him, they'll find me better. There it is.
Yeah, and then we got the pod,
261
million. So, I mean, all together, almost getting up to, almost 2 billion-isk worth of murder that happened there. That
yeah, that's a lot.
That was a lot of fun.
That poor bastard.
Avoid
yeah,
the
look, that's
Amazon
that
gate.
Dude, that's almost all of his losses right there.
Oh, man. Wow, ouch. He had a bad day that day. He
we better send him some money,
dangerous...
Frozen.
No, he's in a corporation. It's the newbie corp people that have been playing for 11 days that are obviously fit in newbie ship shit. That'll reach out if you get a message from Frozen Fallout and you had just died. You got a newbie shit ship. You might get a little bit of money from me. You know, you might. Might get a little advice, a little.
You
bit
might be
of,
able to
know,
scam them.
Might be able
you know,
to scam.
Double
me.
Your ISK.
Yeah, absolutely.
You double your ISK.
The double ISK scam. So, but yeah, so I had a lot of fun there. Just lots and lots of murder that is happening in Abazon all the time. We did get some really good catches. Not too long before the Abazon Gate Camp. Where was that? We caught like a. Cyclone fleet issue. Where? Let me find it here. Yeah, in Pinacasto, I caught a cyclone fleet issue. This was at 21:29 on the 9th of March. I got
right here.
Yeah, we got that cyclone fleet issue, and then his buddy in a Tempest warped off. So we were chased him down from Pinacasto to Tama. He went into Tama, and we caught him on the Tama Gate, and his Tempest went down. That was a nice little 449 million-isk murder fest that happened there. Caught his Enyo. And these were, I believe... Yeah, this was... Oh, yeah, that was the police fleet, which was a lot of fun. We didn't get, like, a huge amount of numbers. We only had, like... 10,
what's,
15
what's
people.
What's the police fleet?
So it's all of the, like, the Navy Comet, the CNI, the...
oh, it's a Spectre fleet.
It's a Spectre fleet, yeah. Just a Spectre fleet, a bunch of... And then you're supposed to put your police skin on, which I have one, and I definitely use that police skin to participate in all of that. That was a lot of fun, though. Really liked that fleet. And then we went and did a whole bunch of murder in Mimitar space. Yeah, it was been going around doing a lot of Spectre fleets lately because they've been a lot of fun. And it does feel like there is a lot less like general militia fleets that are kind of going on.
I'm happy that one of my kills is on the top of the board.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There. I've been playing much, but I'm happy about that.
But you've got on the board. Yeah, so that's kind of just a rundown of what I've been doing, how the Galente have been doing in general for the war zone, where things are kind of happening here. So, but one of the things that we also wanted to take a look at was Z-Kill for the Galente and the Kaldari. So before we kind of do like the, you know, normally we go through like the top 10 here, but I just kind of wanted to point something out that I found kind of interesting when I was just kind of looking at the kill board here. So if you look at the Galente here, And if you're looking at the past 7 days for characters that have participated in PvP activities for that have gotten on a kill mail in the last 7 days, there's 500, and I have 519, you have 514. I think yours is a little...
I refreshed it.
Did you? If I refresh, yeah. Then let me refresh here real quick. So, yes, I see 514 characters for the Galente. So those are 514 characters that have gotten on a kill mail in the last 7 days. Not necessarily a lost mail, because if you add those all together, it goes up to, like, 735 characters that have participated in faction warfare, have been part of the Galente faction warfare, and have either gotten a loss or a kill. So we've got like 200 some odd people that are farmers, you know, that only get lost males in the last 7 days. So not that bad, but about 500 people feels...
Or they're really bad at PvP.
Some people are just really bad at PvP. They're trying. They're only getting lost males.
And if you want to get kills, okay, then just join a Spectre fleet or join Federation Frontline Report.
Yeah, or any fleet, really. You know, you can usually
any fleet, yeah,
leak out at one kill if you join up with a legitimate fleet.
This is a fun fact. Guinevere Kenyon has never run a fleet that has never gotten a kill. A single kill. Every single one of my fleets gets a kill.
Yeah,
I've never, ever, and more than that. But like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's easy to get a kill, you know, and it's the blingy kills that get you really excited. Remember when we were really excited?
I remember the Kiki face, I almost get a really good kill every fleet. I can't say 100% that I get, you know, a super blingy thing every time, but. But
although you
definitely
do get
like
a lot of blingy shit, even with your solo.
I do get a lot of blingy shit. I fuck some shit up, dude. I find because I sit in my home system all day and I watch these people, you know, and I watch the gates and I learn, oh, this guy flies blingy shit, and I just made him mad. That means he's gonna come back with something bigger and blingier, and I'm gonna blow it up again. Like, that's what that means.
Gotta love it when that happens. And then we have, let's go over real quick and just look at the Keldari here, because I just wanted to do a comparison here real quick. So if you look at their kills in the last 7 days, so this is just kills, this is not the losses and kills, this is people that have gotten on a kill mail, that they have slung some kind of EWAR or damage or something at a ship that blew up in the last 7 days. They've got 1,026 characters. 1,026, that's almost double the amount of characters that they have that are participating in...
It is so close to double, I'm just going to call it double.
It's pretty much, I mean, you might as well call it double. And the thing that is even crazier is if you just look at them as a whole of people that get on kills and have lost a ship in the war zone... It's 1,603 characters. Like, so we have, that is well over double the amount of characters that we have.
That even exist, yeah.
That are participating in some kind of PvP, either losses
or
killing
something. Yeah,
because
if you go back here and check that, yeah, it's only 735 total.
Yeah, so they've got a lot. I mean, they've got like 600 farmers, basically, at the very least, like 600 farmers that are out there trying to just make a buck. And the crazy thing to me is that, you know, that their LP store is way better than the Galente, which I think needs to be a rebalance for both the pirate and the Galente, or and the
what makes theirs
militia.
Better
they have missiles, faction missiles. They also get faction ammo or faction hybrid ammo. That's one huge thing that really helps them out, is that they get a special item that we don't have access to, so we don't get faction missiles as the Galente. And
true, because we don't have, like, typically have missile ships,
right? And they still get the faction drones. We have faction drones, but they have faction drones too. And they have faction ammo. We have faction ammo, and our ammo is exactly the same. There's no difference between the two. So it helps them there. They also have the Phoenix Navy issue, which that is one of the big... It's a big reason why 0.0 groups, like I believe Goon Swarm and others, have kind of joined up with the Kaldari, is because they want to farm out those Phoenix Navy issues, because they are really great ships. And the Phoenix, or the Navy issue Moros, or the Moros Navy issue, is okay. You know, it gets that extra longer web and point, I believe. Let me see here.
It looks like a giant turd.
It does look like a giant turd. So it doesn't.
Phoenix
look
Navy
cool.
issue looks sick.
Yeah, no, it does.
The Phoenix alone was kind of a sick-looking ship, but the Navy issue looks even more badass.
But yeah, the Moros is nothing, you know, not
and
like
I know.
An elite tier. You know, you'd rather have like a. There's more room for
yeah. Look how sexy
Navy
that
issue and
look how sexy that thing looks.
It does look pretty. It does look like a big brick to a certain degree, but also a kind of sexy.
Yeah, but it's like a brick full of fucking missiles and shit,
right? And yeah. A shield tank on.
It's
that
like
thing.
My probably one of my favorite ships.
Yeah,
design wise and application wise is the Abaddon.
Yes. Yeah.
And that thing is just a fucking brick of lasers. Like it's just. A pointy brick of lasers.
So, I mean, but their LP is worth, I believe, like around 900. For easy trade-in on the... there's, like, people who are trading LP and stuff like that. It's, like, 900 for the Kaldari LP, and it's, like, 700 for the Galente, 750 or something like that. So, 750 ISK per LP. We take a hit there. I'd really love to see a restructuring and relook at the LP stores. There's a lot of different stuff that they can do, introducing better items, removing tags, and just making it a straight ISK amount that you need to pay for a lot of things, because tags are just not easy to farm and get a hold of and stuff like that. To a certain degree it is, but it really messes with different prices and stuff like that. For some reason, the tags for the Kaldari are like 2 million to do. Like one tag from a large plex from the Kaldari is 2 million, whereas it's like 500,000 for us. It's weird that the LP or the tags from a medium site for the Galente are better than the tags from a large site for the Galente, which is just. It just seems weird to me, but it is what it is. So, so things are looking, you know, numbers wise, we need more people in the Galente. And I've noticed there's some losses that we've taken. The network is no longer part of the Galente anymore. And they've moved and joined up. The Noir has joined up with, and we talked about that on our last episode. Where we had the surprise guest of Alec that came in and kind of went a little bit more in depth into what happened there. But they went over, they're in the process of transitioning into the Garistas right now. Gets them, you know, a sizable amount of people to fight. So, and a better LP area. Also, they can dock everywhere then, like the pirates don't have docking restrictions on them, which I think also is a thing that should maybe be looked at. But
yeah, I mean, apart from if they're like actual pirates, but now here's the thing, like you can be a pirate with the pirate faction and have high sex status now.
Yes you can,
like because you can you can fight all wait so Yeah, you can fight all... Is it just the opposing faction in the area, or can you fight all of the factions?
No, it's just the Galente. So if you're part of the Garista, okay. You're only at war with the Kaldari and the Galente.
But still, you get that, like, you aren't Galente, you aren't Kaldari, and you can fight, you know, you can fight whichever one of them you're opposing.
Yep.
So like, that's like pirate status, but.
But it's interesting because like if they had gone over to the Kaldari, they would have had to move out of Hadeles. But because they moved into, or because they joined with the Garistas, they're able to still live out of Hadeles, and dock there because they don't have any LOSEC docking restrictions.
And I would imagine Alec being a very, what's the word? Very good with his due diligence.
Yes,
would that sounds like a very informed decision on his part.
Oh yeah, no, that's been in the works for a while. They've been monitoring what's been going on with the war zones and what side would be best to join up with. And then when Kel'thas, you know, broke apart, it was a perfect opportunity.
Alec is extremely analytical. That dude,
you know, that what dude the fuck like doing,
knows.
Man.
Knows his shit. He doesn't go into a fight without knowing all the intelligence, without having the proper fit. Respect.
Dread did they, so get so by to speak Spectre to that fleet, before he dropped Galente, and I was in that Spectre fleet and I couldn't shoot him because he was still blue. So I was like, fuck. So I tried to jump over and jump out of Spectre fleet and jump into, not necessarily jump into his fleet, but just kind of see what the fuck was going on as like a third party kind of person with a sniper battleship. I was gonna just fuck around, and then the Spectre fleet killed me. Like, god damn
it. Yeah, that's what happens with NPSI, bro. You can't leave the fucking fleet.
Oh no, yeah, I knew that they were gonna try and shoot me, but I was hoping Alec had a plan, and it looks like he didn't. not a plan that worked. So
yeah, not he always has a plan. Not every plan works, but no, that's true. But to speak to that, they are. I will say this. Excuse me. Being a member of the network and doing contracts with them, being a fucking mercenary, they are the fucking elite, dude. Like they are elite. And there's no room for fucking up on those fleets, on those contract fleets, because you're getting paid. Like someone is paying you to do that.
You're also flying around with like Vargers and shit like that because you're
I lost a Varger in wormhole space, and immediately the Russian Terminator is messaging him on Discord. You live in wormholes now? And I was like, maybe. I don't know. Why did I lose a Varger in a wormhole? Who knows? Probably because someone was paying me an assload of money to fly a Varger in a wormhole.
Right.
Because who flies a fucking Varger into a wormhole if you don't live there? Like, you know, it's that shit was crazy, and I love that stuff. And I'm sorry I wasn't on that episode when Alec was on last. I'm going to get to see him soon in May. I'm pretty sure he's going to be at the Madtown meetup. But, like, they are elite. I flew with them. I love flying with them. I love flying with them on their elite missions, and I love flying with them on their non-elite missions. But you know, some of them maybe don't know how to have fun once in a while as a pirate, and as someone who really really really, you know, likes to just have fun in the game. I remember doing non-contract missions and then having one of like the old salty guys that's like, you know, just elite contract mission person on like a blops, you know, that wasn't a mission, and like just being, I don't know, a little snooty about how things are being done.
if you're gonna do elite, you know, right?
They always expect a level of eliteness, and I completely respect that on contracts because it makes sense, and I adhered to it. I obviously was able to hang out with that. You know, I just wasn't always available for all of the contracts, but that's, you know, that's because also I think they're a little more EU time zone.
For a lot of the contracts, it was EU's time zone, which like completely barred me out of being able to do anything, which really sucked.
You didn't get to participate in much of it.
Yeah, I got in some contracts here and there, but definitely. And it was, you know, you had to be in the top 10 in order to get a payout type kind of thing. So, you know,
which was like a cakewalk for Gwen because she's always in the top 10.
Well, it's the ISK based kind of thing. So, you know, you got some like one time.
I know
like a shit ton of time on the contract, but we didn't get any like super big kills, but we did get some really decent, you know, number of kills.
I remember that one contract where that fucking blingy ass pod came to my gate camp, and I was secured first place regardless because
just because of that pod.
Because of that stupid pod. And then I was like, all right, cool. But no, it was yeah, you do. Yeah, to get a payout, you have to be in the top 10. But typically, most contracts don't even have 10 people on them. So
yeah,
you're almost always getting a payout. But the extended,
the big things is that, you know, it's allowed for them to, or makes it a little bit harder as that corporation was growing for you to be able to that top.
And I hope we're not like revealing too much. No, we're not. This was not in the NDA that I signed for the network. This is all stuff like that should encourage you to join the network. This is stuff to encourage you to want to, you know, become a mercenary and live that life, and it's fun. And same thing goes for Spectre Fleet. I keep forgetting that we get paid.
Yeah, I was like, FCs. Oh, Billy and Itzka all of a sudden just appeared in my wallet. I was like, where'd that come from?
So like there's a couple of things about Spectre Fleet. One, if we're killing stuff that and individual pieces of items drop that are less than 25 mil, you can keep them, right? So like you can make money that way if you're just good at looting while the whole thing's going on, and a lot of, and I'm assuming a lot of people do. But if you're at FC, like excess, I think, I think it's excess SRP fund stuff, which is basically all the loot. You do get a quarterly payout if you're an FC for Spectre, and you run. You have to run
every fleets. 3 months or something like
that. And it's completely. That's just a quarterly. Yeah. I think.
I'm just clarifying.
It's completely based on how many fleets you run, and you might get if you bring in more like loot, but it's cool, and I know not everybody's about that. Like FCing is not a fucking easy job. It's not, but. I want to say this though. I don't do it for the money. I do it because it's
fun.
You know, it's fucking fun.
Yeah. No.
I want to share with other people to get those kills. You know, get them on those kills. And like it's always fun. And which reminds me, I really need to do another Spectre Fleet. I haven't done one in a little while. Maybe about a month, I think. And I mean, I pretty much only do exclusively the Abazon Gate Camp, but I might try other stuff. I will say that I do really enjoy that though, especially because the locals seem to really like to play with me when I'm there.
You know what we should do is do a streams fleet where I do the streaming but you do the FCing, so that it takes it a little bit of that stuff off your plate. So you.
That's what we did. That's what we did that one time. Mm-hmm. That was really good. Actually, that worked out really well when I did that. So maybe I'll try to do some like Thrasher fleets or something so that I can get a little more mobile experience under my belt. I mean, I've done it before, just not at this big of a, like, I mean, I end up fighting Max in fucking Abazon, so I might as well be doing a regular fleet at that point because like he's coming in with a dozen ships to fight us, you know, every now and again, and doing weird fucking guerrilla tactics and shit. So like you got to think on your toes.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's move on though. Here we actually have been talking for like almost an hour now. Like it's been going, man. So let's do a quick here. We're just gonna do a quick top 10. Do you want to take us through the top 10 of the characters for the Galente?
Yeah, let me just refresh this really quick to make sure we are good to go. We're still set. I'll do a refresh already. So. Top characters for the Galente Federation. I just want to point out that the Galente do fight for freedom and democracy.
Damn straight we do.
And we drink liberty. which is mostly whiskey for me. Alexander Cardieu, 145 kills coming in at first place. Valvieri, 127 kills, second place. Saura Ishursira, 123. This is Galente, right?
Yep. Yeah,
pretty sure that person was Kaldari.
I think at one point, yeah.
I'm pretty certain that person was Kaldari. Maybe not. I could be crazy. Anyways.
That's sedition. No, I'm seeing sedition.
Lucian Lockhart, 108. Fourth place. Pete Sakanassian, 105. Fifth. Killer Rasta, 101. I remember fighting that guy back in the Tauros, back when we were all pirates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy's a cool dude. Who's this fucker?
Some dumbass.
7th place. That's a lucky number. Frozen Fallout with 96 kills. Captain Brucer, 94 kills. Damn, son, 90 kills. And also tied for last place, Maris Republic Mariner, 90 kills.
All right, looking at the top 10 for the corporations, we've got Jerkasaurus Rex Incorporated coming in at number one.
Such a great name.
That is a solid name. 441 kills. We got the Fleet Pizza Delivery, also a good name. I like that. I love the concept that we're delivering you pizza and a bullet. Mm-hmm. 366 for second place. The Frog Pond with 300 kills coming in at third place. Frog Team 4, FTF, coming
fourth
in
place.
Fourth place, 284
May the
kills.
Fourth be with you.
Yeah, look at that. The fourth team, the fourth place. Now they just need to get up to 400 kills. And, yeah. You know, and be like, four. The Federal Defense Union, so this is the NPC corporation, is at 253 kills. Buns with Jam is 167
kills. I do like my buns with jam.
I do like buns with jam. We got the Woke and Roll.
Walk and Roll.
Walk.
Careful now.
Not the
Don't
woke.
Call it woke.
Don't, well, no, now we're going to get banned.
calm down. We're going to get canceled now.
The Walk and Roll. 162 kills for that is sixth place, right? Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, seventh place, right?
Seventh place.
Eighth place. Did he say jump?
I jumped.
God
sorry,
damn it.
FC.
Now we're all screwed. That's at 160 kills for seventh place or eighth place. Ninth place is Los Violentos de Kenny.
Yeah,
sure.
Those are the guys. That is Killer Rasta. That's all Killer Rasta. Los Violentos de Kenny is all fucking Killer Rasta.
I think there's
I know this.
One other person. Yeah, there's some other people in there, but
solidly.
You could say the same about Russell. Our corporation.
I'm also almost certain that at least some of these are his alts.
That makes sense. And then we've got Novus Galentia Archangeli. 108 for 10th place. You want to take us through the top 10 of the alliances?
So the top 10 alliances here, of course, with no surprise, we have the top Sedition, period, 636 kills. Of Essence, 587 kills. Ribbit, period, 300 kills. Dock Workers, 160. Wrecking Machine, period, 135. Shadow Cartel, 114, enlisted, obviously. Pandemic Horde, 103, enlisted, obviously. Federation Frontline, 102. That's all frozen. I think two of those kills are mine.
Let's see here. Let's click on
all
that.
The rest
let's take
are frozen.
A look here. No, you got 11. So I've got 96 kills. You've got 11 kills. Some of our kills are shared. Coro Base has got three good solid kills.
I missed
Drunken
that dude.
Drunken Bozer has got one kill, and Henrietta got her one kill in on that vigil. And normally she's just playing support for you, but she
was playing bait that day.
Yeah, that was a baby day. So,
but yeah, the Chicken Coop in ninth place with 91, and Razor Alliance with 43. So what do we got in the top ships?
Yeah, let's take a look at the top ships here. So we've got the Excure Navy issue, number one motherfucking ship for the Galente. Makes sense that we got
all
of that ship. So 395 kills there. Coming in second, we've got the Kaldari Navy issue at 348 kills. The Federation Destroyer, which is the NPC. That's 291 kills. So there's got to be somebody else who's participated on a kill for that to get on the board there. But it assisted. You know, it was basically this is how many small plexes have a lot of fights that go on for sure. Then we've got the Federation Navy Comet at 276 kills. So right off the bat, I mean, Exeger Navy issue, Catalyst Navy issue, Federation Navy Comet. You know what we like flying out there. We like flying our ships. And, you know, we get out there
and other fun. People like flying our ships as well.
Absolutely. Surprisingly, though, I don't know if I've seen this on the top 10 in a while. Maybe I'm just not remembering correctly, but the Proteus at 166 kills.
That's one of these fucking 0.0 enlisted assholes.
It's got to be.
They're pulling some bullshit, some blopsing or some other crap. That's what's going on. Or bomb. No, that's smart bomb.
That's probably a smart bomb.
That's a smart bomb. I can see that. Yeah.
And then we've got the Tristan. So all Galente ship. Oh, sorry. The Thrasher fleet issue with 188 kills. Then the Proteus at 166 kills. And now we've got a Tristan. So really great T1 little fucking ship. I love the Tristan. Also used by a lot of farmers, though, which is kind of annoying because it is a
drone boat. Yeah, because it's a drone boat, yeah.
Yep, I'm surprised the Elgos isn't on here, except for that the Elgos is used a lot by the farmers, but doesn't kill a lot because they're farming more than they're trying to do anything else. But 144 kills there, coming in 7th or 8th place. 9th place, we've got the Omen Navy issue, a very strong, very similar ship to the... Exeger Navy issue. Each has their own bonuses and minuses to a certain degree, but both of them can be really long range or punchy in the face DPS boats. Normally the Omen Navy issue is known as being a little bit more kitey, though. 132 kills there. And then the Thrasher, we all love that fucking Thrasher, the cockbag. Get that out there to murder people at 129 kills.
Pretty sure that's all you.
That's a lot of me. Then we've got top 10 systems. Where is the fighting taking place where the Galente are murdering people?
The most amount of murder going on for the Galente is in Agamemnon, which is 583 kills. And closely in second, right next door, Sugerento, 472 kills. Abune, however you pronounce it. It's in third place, 360 kills. Oinosaikin, 265 kills. Tanalin, 190. Devon, 162. Frary, 144. Hay, Die, Less, 110. Isanamo, 103. And Ugalis at 89.
Wow, I'm surprised Abazon isn't on there because of me. But not enough.
It's close.
It's close. It's very close to being on
close.
That
close.
I do a lot of murder in that system. So let's move over to the Keldari and take a look here. What do we got for the top 10 characters for the Keldari?
So in the top 10, first place, Sarayu Wisdom with 180 kills. Corsair Irata, 156 kills in second place. Galen 2, 146. Okay. That instead of Galen Te, they're Galen 2, 146 kills, 3. Progray, 143 kills in 4th place. Mikan Org, 138 kills, 5th place. Draka Shazi, with 137 kills. Revan Shion, with 133 kills. Audemed, with 112 kills. Extreme Death, with 11 kills. And Lazlax, rounding up the top 10 with 107 kills.
So we've got a lot of enlistment that has come in from the Karma fleet. Yep. So they've got 370 kills. They're at the very top of the corporation kill board here. Definitely enlistment. That's the Goon Swarm Federation corporation, the one that's really easy pretty much to get into. No real requirements except for some minor things here and there that, you know, has to do with if you're trying to get an alt into them, but you can kind of sneak that through if you're smart. So we got the 4S Corporation.
You didn't hear that from us.
I mean, that's as well known. They say that. the 4S Corporation, 331 kills. Keldari Black Hand. The Black Hand.
That sounds like another goon swarm.
It does sound like a goon swarm. Let's find out. I doubt that this is like a special made. No, it is part of the Keldari Tactical Operations Command, the SeaTac Alliance. But there is the black hand of the Goonswarm Federation, so I'm betting, you know, that those guys might get infiltrated.
Of which,
you
know, Gwen is not a part of.
No, never. Of course not. And then we've got the Shang-Chi, 309 kills. The Revenant Defense Corporation at 261 kills. The State Protectorate at 233 kills. Normally, the State Protectorate is a little bit higher on that list, actually.
Yeah.
The Blazing Phoenix, Blazing TAC Phoenix at 229 kills. Jade Cloud Corporation at 184 kills. Snuggle Society. I don't like those people. I just don't like the name, I guess.
You don't like snuggling?
No snuggling in Eve. Only murder.
No snuggle.
At 180 kills. And then Goonwoff coming in at 175 kills. Goons really, like I said, Goons came over and they saw that Phoenix Navy issue. They saw how much
there was. Yeah, there's so much. That's a lot of goons.
Yep. So yeah,
Is all farming. This is all farming for them Phoenix Navy issues. But yeah, absolutely. So the top alliances. Oh, no surprise there. Goonswarm Federation, 1,061 kills in first place.
And then their bitter enemy, Fraternity Dot, coming in at second place because that's where they're like, you know what? We don't care. We're not really enemies with each other. We'll work together if we can make ISK together.
Yeah, they can make ISK this way. 628. No. Kaldari Tactical Operations Command at 409. Third place. Pandemic Horde, 389.
Another great enemy of the Kaldari, or of the Goon Swarm, that they're like, oh, we can make money together. Let's touch dicks. So.
Yeah, so they're playing tummy sticks over there. United Kaldari Space Command, 366. Ishikurata Enforcement Directive, 303. The Syndicate of Silence, 294. Northern Coalition, .94. Absolute Will, 85. And Radicalized Apes with 84.
All right. And going over the top 10 ships here, we've got the Excure Navy issue. So even after the nerf, where it took like a 25% reduction to the bonus that you get for damage, it's still rocking hard. People love that fucking ship. And it's another thing that's like, even though it's a great ship, it's not helping our LP store for some reason. Like, we just produce so much of them.
It's just a cruiser.
It's not a Phoenix Navy issue, but it is a great ship. 349 kills. The Gnosis, once again, another really cool, great ship. I love using the Gnosis. Gate camps is awesome.
Yeah, someone's gate camping a lot.
I see them in Kaldari High Sec, where they try and catch people flying around.
Oh, they're probably station campers.
Yeah, still like, well, and even solo gate camping, because you know it's likely not a fleet. It's just somebody trying to just trying to get through to get to a Spectre fleet because the Spectre's
you just sit there and wait for an unsuspecting faction warfare person to be going through, thinking that they're safe in high security space. You are not safe.
No.
In high security space. It doesn't matter whether you're faction warfare or not. You are not safe in high security space. The only safe place you can be is in an NPC, inside of an NPC station, and never leaving.
And then we've got the Cyclone Fleet issue coming in third place at 250 kills. And the first Kaldari ship, and a T2 ship, surprisingly, a Harpy at 240 kills. Then the Kaldari Navy Hookbill at 218 kills. The capsules, because they're always dying before they can finish somebody off. You know, that's just what happens. You know, gotta die before you can win. No, capsule at 196 kills. Retribution at 196 kills. Osprey Navy issue coming in 8th place for 186 kills. The Eris, which is a bubble ship, so these ships must be getting used a little bit inside of that pirate war zone where they do have a lot
of where they in the pirate drop war to zone. Zero.
Yep, where they can actually put out their bubbles. 185 kills, and the Stiletto, 185 kills. A lot of T2 ships on there.
Yeah,
but comparatively, especially to what we've got on our side. So, but that is because a lot of the pirate insurgencies do land on their side, and they, you know, as much as they're not focused on that effort to try and do something there, like, and win those wars, or the insurgencies, they're still participating in them.
Also, too, goons and yes. 0.0 in general, they're just yes. more likely to be flying Tech 2 shit because that's what they fly in 0.0.
Very good point.
It's much more rare for them to be flying, apart from the Phoenix Navy, right?
Right.
The smaller ships, this Federation or Caldari as much. But yeah, a lot more T2 because T2 is, especially like you see that Stiletto there, that's a superior interceptor tackling ship, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's I've applied the Stiletto and a lot of Spectre fleets because it's easy for me to get to the Spectre fleet because they're always like meet up in Jeddah and then fly like 10 jumps through high sec in Kaldari space.
Yeah, right.
Like, God damn it! Like not only am I -10, but I'm also a war target. Like oh my god.
You know, for that fucking contract where I lost a Vargr in wormhole space, I flew it through like half a dozen or more high sec systems before we got to that contract. That was scary as shit, dude.
All like, the shit in your pants, huh? Yeah.
You know, we're flying a Vargr through high sec.
Clench the butthole.
-10 status.
So take us through the top 10 systems here. Where's the Kaldari fighting these days?
No big surprise. The first two align almost exactly to the Galente. Well, they align in system, maybe not numbers. But Nagamenon in first place, 280 kills. Sudorento in second place with
237. Way less than what we have in
237 kills.
We got 583 and 472.
Yeah, okay. So so we have more kills there because that's our home turf, you know what I'm saying? But third place, Utra, 225. 1P TAC WGB, 174.
I don't even know where Utra is.
I don't fucking know
I've
either.
Never heard that name.
And then we're back to some familiar faces here. Oinosaiken, 144. A Boonie, 140. And then we're going out to 0.0 with PF TAC 346, 124 kills. MJ TAC 5F9, 105 kills. And QTAC EHMJ, 100 kills. With Tanalin, another familiar face, rounding out the top 10 systems for Kaldari kills.
Awesome. Well, that is the wrap-up here of the top 10 for the Kaldari and for the Galente. And as you can see, you know, we seem to focus more on the war zone, Kaldari, you know, because they've got so many people just flooding in from all over the fucking place, enlisting themselves. They're all over the fucking place, so, you know. It is one of
yeah,
the
well, things that I do find. A lot of them enlisted people are 0.0 goons and pandemic and frat, so
yep.
They're also getting kills out in their space as well.
And although there might be like twice as many as us, we do organize a lot better
than
the Kaldari. Like, we can get equal numbers, if not better numbers in fleet than them when we're doing fleet fights against each other. You know, time zone comes into that a lot of the times too. Mm-hmm. But you know, we put up really good, strong fleets and stuff like that. Also, the Kaldari are kind of spread out all over the place. Like, you know, 0.0 enlisting and stuff like that. They have like more insurgency stuff that they have to deal with a lot more than we do. And with Sedition coming down to where they're staging out of OMS now. So you know, OMS, Haedili's, Fliette, all systems that are right next to each other, with Haedili's right in the middle there, we have a strong coordination effort of like, this is where we fucking live. And everybody is, we've stopped trying to fight in the northern war zone and the southern war zone, where Sedition was focusing more and having, you know, a stronger, more organized, you know, almost the anti-snuff coalition, basically, that they're trying to build up. In the north, they've moved down to the south here and moved into the Old Man Star. So we've been able to really combine the efforts of all of the militia. There's a lot of sedition fleets that are going out always. I just got out of one. And they've got some really good FCs, some really good people, Young Puke and a bunch of others that are out there just kicking ass, taking names. They did lose a Fortizar just recently in OMS. It was sad to see that.
Yeah, I saw that notification for my shit going into asset safety because I have something in every goddamn player-owned station in Galente space.
And, all right, so... before we wrap things on up here, though, I just wanted to say that we do have the EVE Madtown meetup for...
May the 4th.
May the 4th, Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to the IO Arcade Madtown. Bar. IO. 5 p.m. to midnight. Some of the things that we're planning on doing is having... I believe we want to get a Soul Calibur tournament going. Also, if you do come, you get a free... Schwag pin from the Federation frontline. We might have some more Schwag that we're looking into bringing as well. Possibly some stickers or some other stuff that we can kind of give out. We're gonna have some prizes and stuff that might be Federation frontline related. I'm not sure what the prizes are gonna be. They're Plex, you know, ISK ships, skins, something like that that we'll give for the tournaments that we're gonna have.
I have a lot of skins. Frozen.
A lot of skins. Yeah, we can.
I have a lot of skins.
I've got some cool skins that I can hand out that are pretty expensive too. So the winner of some of these tournaments that we're gonna have. So I know that you know, last time that we were at IO together, you kicked my ass in Soul Calibur.
Soul
we're gonna
Calibur.
Have to, you know, I'm gonna have to go there and Soul Calibur 2, and I'm gonna have to, you know, train up. Get ready for a showdown with you. But yeah, I think we're going to do like a show.
Y'all can't match Voludo's hands. Voldo's hands, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
And then we've got Killer Bee, which is a very rare, like, 10-person game where it's, you know, you've got two sides, two teams going at each other, and you can either be, like, a worker bee or that you try and move a snail to a goalpost at the bottom. So if you're riding the snail, then you can get like killed by somebody, or you can jump, you know, underneath the snail to try and stop it. You can turn into a warrior.
It's a very surprisingly complicated game.
It's very simply complicated. There's, you know, there's only three ways to win. So it's an economic victory where you pick up these berries and drop them off in the enemy's stronghold. You have the snail that can get to the if it gets to the goal at the end, and then you have the killing the queen. If you kill three of the queens, you win. So there's three different ways of winning, but there's one person that's, you know, is a designated queen, and the rest of them are workers. But workers can turn into either berry carriers, the snail runners, or they can turn into warriors and help fight with the queen. But the queen is a murderer. It's just a warrior. She can't do anything other than kill things. And it's a really, really cool game. Some other things I was thinking was like Mortal Kombat 2 they've got there. There's like, we could do like a Pac-Man tournament, you know, with high score, or Frogger tournament for high score. You know, just some fun little like tournaments for people to kind of participate in and win some prizes, and try and have it a varied, you know, so like maybe you're not good at Killer Bee, or you're not good at any fighting games, but you've been playing Pac-Man forever, or Tetris. They've got Tetris there. Maybe there's some Tetris experts.
And y'all also do high score on pinball.
We could do high score on pinballs. They've got a bunch of pinball machines, so
really, really nice pinball selection.
But yeah, so I will put the Discord for that out into the chat right now, and I also will include that in the show notes, but that is the Discord there for Madison Madtown EVE Meetup. EVE Madtown Meetup Dyslexia. Woo! But yeah, so... thank you all for watching. Thanks, Samson, for jumping on, and have a great night.
Look forward to seeing you all there on May the 4th in Madtown at the IO.
May the 4th be with you.